Today's sponsor is Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/comedyfilmnerds for a free audiobook download. Do it, seriously.
From comedyfilmnerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The floating force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode
25.
25. This is our 25th anniversary.
Yeah, quarter of 100.
Quarter of...
Wait, no. Yeah, that's right.
That is right. Yeah. It's just usually it's a quarter of a century.
Yeah. Or, no, it's just a quarter of 100.
It just sounds very clinical. It doesn't sound as exciting as when I was... Yay! It's just 25.
All right. We'll just keep it at 25.
I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening.
Good night. welcome. This is fun, episode 25.
It sure is. And before we go any further, we should really talk about episode 24.
All right. Okay. That was the couple of sound issues with that. There was a mic cord issue. That's why the crackling was. So we pulled the episode and we're going to put back just the stuff from Albuquerque.
And maybe with a little extended Albuquerque stuff.
A little extended Albuquerque stuff.
Kind of a little bit of a different episode with much fewer problems.
Much fewer problems. And the echo thing, that's just that specific episode, just for everyone who wrote us like echo emails, because it was recorded in a big venue hall. Like it was a live event where there was people in like a bar, nightclub-y area. So that's why it was a little echoey. So that you're just going to have to suck it.
The other echoey problems were, I think they're gone, but they may come back. But anyway, the point is that we
echoes
appreciate
like
you guys
ghosts.
Sticking with
it. Yeah, we appreciate
it. We are, as frustrating it is to hear a sound problem on your end, imagine what it's like in the garage.
It's really maddening. Because we're all sitting in our underwear. It's really hot.
Yeah, and it's not even helping that we're in our underwear. We're still hot, and it's affecting the sound. So thank you for all the emails. And, you know, it's not like we ignore the suggestions either. We email everyone back.
No.
We've got some great suggestions doing things properly.
The one, like, I love any of those critiques because they're helpful. The ones I don't like is that one Jag who put the, on iTunes is like, it's okay, I might give it another star if you stop doing so many shout outs. Well, here's a shout out. Suck it. I don't want your other star. How's that sound?
It was like a threat or a little carrot. I might give you another star.
Well, fuck you. Take your star and jam it. How's that sound?
Wow, I think we just lost all four that he gave us.
Oh, wow. Good. Stop listening if you're going to be a dick. Anyway.
Stop doing so many shout-outs.
Yeah, maybe we should stop doing shout-outs. Shout-outs are like, supposed to be fun.
I like doing... Here's the thing. Here's why I bring that up. Because many people come up to me after shows. I'll give some shout-outs right now. Was just doing shows with our first guest, who in Baltimore and D.C., all these people came up, love the podcast. You know, you guys are great.
Right.
I'm not gonna change the whole format of the show because one dick puts a thing on iTunes. It's like when we do shows in comedy clubs and the whole crowd's laughing and there's one guy sitting there with his arms folded. I'm not changing my show for that dick.
Do you change the way you eat if you have one dick in your mouth?
Yes. There's multiple dicks makes things very different.
You know, you got to go. It's a numbers game. How many dicks are in your
mouth? Right, exactly.
And which one are you going to change for?
Yeah. I mean, how do you
do
that?
That's a horrible metaphor.
It is. That's really...
We should have used kitten hands.
A lot of people like kitten hands on the road. Well, let's introduce our guest.
Our guest. Fantastic.
I said it.
Well done, sir.
I said first guest only because there was a married couple that came up to me and at the Arlington Draft House, and they wanted me to autograph my CD to our first guest.
Did you remember their names?
Married couple from Arlington. Okay. That was there.
And what were they wearing? What was the shirt that you really liked that you couldn't remember? What were they wearing?
Oh, dude, you're killing me. That was like three episodes ago. My memory doesn't do that. I can remember movies from the 70s better than that, than last week.
All right, let's introduce our guest.
Here's our guest. We've done the road numerous times. We just came off of the road together. We have all of his CDs for sale, ladies and gentlemen. Has his own podcast, Doug Loves Movies. How about it, Doug Benson?
Oh, How about it?
How about it?
Hey, you should, you know, remind people that my latest CD / DVD, Hypocritical Oaf, is available through you guys, through Comedy Film Nerds.
Autograph copies. We're the only people selling autograph copies online.
And we're the only ones that have a gift pack if you want all of three of Doug's CDs along with a free shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, if you like hard physical copies of things
that are signed
in your mouth.
That are signed put in your mouth, then Comedy Film Nerds is the place to go. If you're into the digital download thing, it's available on iTunes.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you want a copy...
Oh, that part just bleeped out. That was weird.
That was weird. That just cut out. You said
yeah.
iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You have to buy a hard copy. Do not digitally download this record. As a shirt someone on the road once gave me said, you can't roll a joint on a digital download.
Boom shakalaka.
Wow. Right and poignant.
Yeah. Right.
What's this? I know you give a rundown of the show to the guests. I should explain that to people before I start reading from it. But you skipped something. What's this thing in parentheses?
Was our ad that we were going to record later. But we may as well just do it now then.
Yeah, this was a fun spot for it. Now that I brought it up, it's natural.
Yeah. Okay.
Read it.
All right. Today's sponsor is Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/comedyfilmnerds for a free audiobook download. And what we were going to talk about is one of the books available is The American. And I just saw it, but it's actually called A Very Special Gentleman by a writer, Martin Booth. And, you know, I saw this movie over the weekend. It was a great movie. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. But the thing that drove me crazy about it is, why don't hitmen wear sneakers? You know, they're Hards. Walking. They're always walking on loud
clomp,
shoes.
Clomp, clomp, clomp.
You know, when one's chasing
How
the other,
you know
it's
I
like,
was coming.
I can hear your shoes. So, and at one point, George Clooney actually takes his shoes off so he doesn't make as much noise. So just wear sneakers, hitmen.
I think.
Geez,
is that's
that
why
hard?
There's no tap dancing hitmen.
Right.
Those two professions just cannot coexist.
And Gregory Hines.
Everything is made of stone in Italy. So you have, it sounds like every hitman has tap shoes on. It's insane.
But, I gotta dance.
Yeah. There's part of it takes place in Italy? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one hitman tries to kill him, and he throws down sand and goes, challenge! Yeah.
But what caught Doug's eye is the point I was going to get to in a much more natural fashion than the way we're doing it, mm-hmm. is that Martin Booth is also a writer of nonfiction, and he wrote a book about cannabis, A History, which is, I thought, would interest our guests.
How does that pertain to Doug?
That's very interesting. When I haven't seen The American.
Well, he's a history fan.
But when I do... I will sit there the whole time thinking, this is based on a book written by a guy who knows a lot about weed. And maybe that'll get me through the slower patches and keep me from being distracted by George Clooney's shoes.
Yes. And also, Very Special Gentleman is available on Audible. But Cannabis, A History is not. So that you're going to
Couldn't you get a free download to read that?
You totally could get a free download to listen to it.
How do you do that? To listen to it, right? You can't.
I love to read things on Audible.
Oh, I love it's great reading.
And you got to go to
I like to
Audible.
Listen to things unreadable.
You got to go to audiblepodcast.com/comedyfilmnerds for a free audiobook download. Don't go to audible.com. We said before that's for suckers.
Yeah, that's a sucker's bet.
Audiblepodcast.com/comedyfilmnerds. Boom! Free download. Do it. In fact, our fan in Japan, Sanai.
Sanai.
She tried to do...
You're a fan?
Yeah, we do. Our big fan, Japan. We tried to do... She emailed us saying we tried to do an Audible download and we couldn't do it. North America only. So sorry, Europeans.
Oh, we're sorry. Kanbanwa.
Yeah. No, that didn't
what
say
What does that mean?
Anything. That means... I think it means good afternoon or good morning.
Really? Bung?
Konnichiwa.
Good bung.
Is the middle of a good afternoon or good morning. Kanbanwa.
Konnichiwa.
And scene.
In theaters now. Let's get after it. You saw this movie.
Resident Evil 4 Afterlife.
Yeah.
This is the fourth movie in the series.
Really? Is that why they call it Resident Evil 4?
Well, no. They don't actually call it 4. It's just Resident Evil Afterlife.
Oh, you just put a 4 in there.
I don't want anyone to get confused as to which movie this was out of the 4.
Was part 3 called Before Life?
Yeah. I think it was called like or Apocalypse Life. Or something. Yeah.
Life.
That would have made more sense. These aren't great movies.
No, but they're fun. But right? I mean, here's the thing.
I stepped out on two. I saw two, I was good for the...
You know what? Two and three were the worst ones. Here's the crazy thing. The fourth one, best one yet.
No way, really?
It's actually a really fun movie. And it no one was more surprised than I, sitting in the theater going, oh my God, this is kind of fun.
It must be all right because, you know, it did better than projected over the weekend.
Yeah, number one.
Like, they knew it would open number one, but they thought it'd be like 11 or 12 million, right. But it was like 27. Or
yeah. That's a big, I mean, I know it had no competition really, but still, that was...
The original director, Paul W.S. Anderson, came back. And the thing I loved about it was he came back not with like, I'm going to make a bad movie. He came back like with something to prove. I'm going to save this franchise after the other two were, were not as good. And he just, man, he came in. The opening scene, there's like no zombies in it. It's all pure action with Mila Jovovich, just swords, guns.
She's great.
Killing all these
people. She's married to that director, isn't
she? She's married to the director,
yeah,
yes.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so let's.
But it was, yeah, it's just
let's
like.
Let's make this franchise work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we can. So
for
we
the
can,
children.
Yes. So we can both keep working together. So it was actually a really fun movie. A lot of action, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of zombie stuff. And you know what? The 3D, I heard they used Cameron's 3D cameras, and it looked really good. It, like, really cool zombie stuff, cool, like, Alaskan kind of vista kind of thing.
So you're recommending seeing
this
in 3D?
I'm actually recommending seeing it in 3D.
Wow.
Yeah, I did
so this and Step
treatment.
Up.
This and Step Up, yes. If you had a choice, go see Step Up. But if you if it's just Resident Evil, it was the kind of movie that you're like, okay, this is kind of fun, it's stupid, but it's also... unexpected. It's just kind of fun, nerdy, geeky, action-filled thing. And he took it a little bit away from the zombies, which is cool. There's a lot of zombies in it, but it's more monsters and all sorts of different like kind of action and fighting soldiers. And the thing that cracks me up, though, is like the world has been destroyed by a zombie apocalypse. So why would you still have a corporation?
Yeah.
You know, Umbrella Corporation is still there with headquarters and all these different cities. And like, if the world has ended, who's going to buy your products, corporation? Why
well, there's always the internet. There's always online sales that they're going to do really
and,
well with.
And Mila's still, in a post-apocalyptic world, still seems to be able to find makeup.
Good.
Which is great.
That's good.
But, you know, you just shut your brain off for this one. But it's a good popcorn movie. It's like what popcorn movies should be. They're big, dumb, loud, a lot of slow motion posing, often while wet by the heroines.
I like, I like the Ally Larder fighting people. She's
absolutely.
She was great in Heroes.
And they
especially fight, season one. Yeah.
They fight a big giant with
good,
an axe.
Good. Get those giants out of there. Yeah.
But isn't it super CG? Like, doesn't everything just look like it's not real?
No, it doesn't, because all the zombies are like, they're all just makeup effects, and a lot of it is a mix of practical and CG. They actually cut it down. They cut it down a little, which is good. If this makes any sense, the director actually kind of grounded it a little bit, mm-hmm. because the last couple were so insane and so ridiculous, it made no sense. Like, you know, the girl, Alice, the character's name, she had like superpowers. Like, well, if she has superpowers, she's just fighting zombies. Who cares? It doesn't make any sense. She loses all her powers at the beginning of this movie. So now all of a sudden she can be hurt and die. So now it actually makes it a more interesting movie.
Oh, wow.
So.
All right. I'll watch like 50. If 15 minutes into it, I'm not having a great time, I can get up and leave, right?
Absolutely.
By that point, I should be
actually
in or out.
The first 10.
10 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, first
I'll
10.
Give it 10 minutes in a multiplex.
Yeah. You'll
and
know.
And I'll set it up so that. Perfect for me to switch over to Eat, Pray, Love or whatever.
Yeah. You'll know in 10 minutes whether this movie is for you or not.
Either way.
Whether I should stay or I should leave and go eat and pray.
There's going to be a girl running around the earth either way for
it
you.
It starts with Mila Jovovich attacking a Japanese company many, many miles underground with a bunch of clones. You know you're either in or out.
I'm in or out.
Yeah.
I'm in. All and right. I think our Japanese listener is going to be in with that, right?
Yes.
She fights a lot of Japanese companies with clones.
Yes.
She told me that on Facebook. Arigato.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go. Our next movie.
I'm just surprised you didn't say Mr. Roboto after that.
I would not say that. That's an old reference. Domo. So I'm still here. I was torn between seeing I'm still here with
and
Joaquin.
Being a leprechaun.
And being a leprechaun. No, that's my Italian voice. Yeah. between Joaquin Phoenix movie and the Pat Tillman movie. So I did not see I'm Still Here. But I'm
gripping documentaries, apparently.
Yeah, I'm curious. I really want to see I'm Still Here. We keep talking about it, but did you see this, Doug?
No.
And
I was with you all weekend. Yeah. No. I don't remember sneaking off.
That's when he gets post-traumatic stress, right? From like being in Braveheart or something? Or no,
yeah,
Gladiator?
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. Then he starts rapping.
It's his, you know, it's just another of his, like, is this real or is this a joke? Not funny joke and not interesting real situations. Like, I just don't know why anybody cares at all.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they did.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone went to go see that movie.
Yeah, I think the Affleck movie to see in theaters this fall is The Town.
Without a doubt. That is going to be... We'll talk about that later. That looks really good. Yeah, I don't know about it. I'm Still Here. I'm curious to see it because I'm curious to see how Casey Affleck does a documentary. And I am...
Really? Are you actually curious to see that? How Casey Affleck does a documentary?
I am. I really want to see how he handles...
What makes this boy tick?
I am fascinated with Joaquin Phoenix, and because I think he's a really good actor, and I really want to know if it is a trick, then God bless him. But I really think he's this crazy. Like when Billy Bob Thornton flipped out on that Canadian guy who, when he was on the road with his band, I think there's celebrities that are that nuts that are like, you know, Billy Bob Thornton was like, "Stop asking me about my acting career. Weren't you briefed?" It's like, what else would we be talking about, you wing nut?
Well, like, the whole audience gets like little packets.
Yeah,
did my publicist
tell you guys that I don't want to talk about movies?
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking about movies. I'm here to talk about...
Movies or cheeseburgers?
I'm here to talk about a new restaurant.
Oh, boy. You should see the dumb beard Doug has today, too. It's really stupid.
And he was rapping a little earlier.
Oh, he was trying to rap. He keeps trying to sing. Oh,
I don't... I just can't muster up any... He's not... this weird persona isn't funny. Like, when he was on Letterman, it wasn't funny. Right. It was just like, I'm just being weird for no reason.
That's why I don't think he's trying to be funny. I think he legitimately just went, you know, he's
So he's not even Crispin Glover.
He's been acting since he was a kid. He has no perception of reality. He's a wing bird. You know what I mean? And he's...
I heard stories of, like, you know, the all the Phoenix kids have weird names. You know, like his name when he was a child actor was Leaf Phoenix, and he switched it to the much more
stable,
much more normal sounding Joaquin, and
more mainstream.
But you know, Leaf, River, Mud Hut, they all had names. They all had weird, you know, hippie names, and like the story on them was like it was the kind of family where they like would all like swim naked together and stuff like that when they were kids with the parents all swimming naked. And,
oh, that wouldn't affect you at all.
That doesn't make you
poor
weird.
River, you know, his life didn't end up so good.
That
so,
was too bad.
Yeah, that guy was a great actor too. So I think the Phoenixes are, you know, classic messed up showbiz. From showbiz / hippie parents. Like, that's the worst combination, you know? Like, you always hear really weird stuff about Shia LaBeouf's, you know, his mom is like showbiz mom / hippie. So there's a lot of, he's always
Which
got
one
weird,
do you think is first?
Weird things to say about her.
Do you think it's hippie / showbiz mom or showbiz mom / hippie?
No, they're hippies first, and they have a kid, and they go, what are we going to do to make a living? Showbiz mom. Then I can go with my son to the VMA awards and dance like a dumb hippie over in the corner.
Nice reference.
Graham Elwood coming to a town near you with the dancing hippie alone routine.
The cornerstone of his act. Speaking of weirdness, how about Virginity Hit? That was a horrible segue.
I think it's going to be horrible content, too. I don't think any of us saw it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Not only didn't
Just
I see
wait till it.
Just
it comes on YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure nobody saw this next movie, Legendary, the John Cena wrestling drama.
I read a little bit about it, and it sounds like it's like it tries really hard to be more of a drama than a, you know, like, than you
a
typically
wrestling
see a wrestling guy,
right.
You know, because he's like in a prison or something in it.
Right, and is he like trying to counsel like some at-risk youth or something like that? Or
yeah, it sounds.
And then he goes on an island for some reality show where he has to kill the other inmates, right?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that was a Stone Cold Steve Austin movie. Never mind.
What's the difference?
What isn't a Stone Cold Steve Austin movie when you think about it?
Oh, man.
What was that movie, the Stone Cold Steve Austin movie? I'm curious now. Condemned or something?
That'd be great to have like an action movie that has like kind of a unsure title, Condemned or something.
Yeah, or something.
Hunted, maybe?
Oh, it was The Condemned.
The Condemned.
The Condemned.
Or something.
With
or
Stone Cold Steve Austin as The Condemned, yeah. I assume. Or is it about a man who condemns others?
It's a guy, he's a critic. Yeah.
He's a
food
social
critic.
Commentator.
Yeah. That's no
condemning
good.
People.
God, you can tell it's a shitty weekend for movies when only one of us saw one of these movies.
And it was good. And it was a Resident Evil movie. There's no way the fourth Resident Evil movie should have been any good.
No.
And the fact that it was is
$27 million worth of good.
But we were running around in DC. Shout out to everybody at the Arlington Draft House. That shout out's for people who hate shout outs.
Yeah, we actually we went to the Arlington Draft House. We saw The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh yeah, not all of it though.
Oh, just
because it's
enough.
Just such a. It's. I was just sitting there stunned at like what were they even trying to do? Like it's a movie for no one. It's
make National Treasure money. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, but it was like National Treasure
is tolerable.
You can see and you could see what the appeal of it is, even if you don't like it. But this is such a swing and a miss. It's just so like. Nick Cage just trying to be kind of weird and funny, but it, like the timing's all off. And that
was it as funny as Con Air?
No, that's what I'm saying. Is like Con Air is a goddamn classic, and don't you dare say anything bad about it again. That's one of my favorite like movies where it's such a strange combination of good and terrible. You know, because Malkovich is awesome, and in that kind of role, Nick Cage can be really fun. And there's lots of weird,
you gotta love
Buscemi
a plane crash
and
into Vegas.
Chappelle. Yeah. You gotta love when they dump Chappelle's body out of the plane, and it's got a note on it to get to the authorities. And but then, of course, it's an awesome sequence marred by then you got to cut to the couple arguing in the car. And then suddenly the body smashes on the on their car. You know, like, why do we have to meet those people before that happens? Why can't the body just hit, like, the middle of the street and people scream and they find the note, moving on. Like, the attempt to add comedy to those kind
Back
of
to
movies,
the airplane.
Yeah, is brutal.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice, like, the reason we went there is because the Draft House is one of these cool places that it's, like, serves food and beer or whatever. Like, it's a really cool, I love seeing movies there, so we just went there to eat and then just take a look at Sorcerer's Apprentice. We just kept looking at each other the whole time going, who's this movie for?
Was there anybody in the watching it?
Yeah. And it was a real mix of people too, because that's the movie, so schizophrenic is like you
what
can't
was on the marquee did it actually say
adult...
Sorcerer's Apprentice?
It said Sorcerer's App.
Yeah.
So maybe some people wandered in, just wanted to put a cool thing on their iPhone. But
cast spells, yeah.
Yeah, and on the marquee, because they, they have comedy and then they show movies, they had, what did it say, Doug Benson, and then underneath you was Predator.
It said Predator. Predators with an S. But
so you were plural.
I worried the S would fall off. Doug Benson, Predator.
Yeah. Come see this creep tonight at 9:30 at the Arlington Draft.
Well, it would have been even cooler if it said Doug Benson versus Predators.
Versus Predator. Now, that's a movie I would see.
Doug Benson versus Predators?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think let's pitch it. Fight him. Drop him, Doug, in a jungle.
The guy's so stoned, he can outsmart those weird predator things.
Oh, well, the other movie that I did see this weekend, I really want to talk about this, was the Tillman Story. And it said a lot of things to me. First of all the trailers were for documentaries, and it really points out the fact that if you actually want accurate information, a documentary is going to be your best bet, because the mainstream media is so horrible. Like,
wait, you can't be talking about cable news.
No, cable news is phenomenal and accurate.
Yeah,
this movie is about how it was really amazing to me, because I did not know that much about Pat Tillman other than what we all know. You know, he gave up a football career to join the army, and he was killed over there, and then. They initially said he was killed by the Taliban, and then they said it was friendly fire. But going into all that was amazing, because it was his parents, specifically his mom, who just kept wanting, they just, they, And the way the military handled it, they just blatantly lied. They just blatantly lied to his whole family, and they did it for PR. And it's just the specifics of it are so, they're so maddening, you know? And
now, did they interview the family?
Oh, the whole family. Okay. The whole family's interviewed throughout the whole movie.
Okay.
And you find out the history of the family, like how they were very, the dad was a lawyer. And, you know, and they found this blogger, Steve Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, who is ex-Special Forces military that runs a blog. And he was the one, one of the things the military did was they finally said, okay, okay, we'll be honest with you. And then dumped, like, crates of documents. Like, there's no one, no civilian that's going to go through this shit. And now, nor could they understand it because it's all blacked out and redacted and all this shit. So they found this ex-Special Forces guy to kind of go through and read between the lines and start to say this is why they covered it up. And then you learn more about Pat Tillman from the image that was put out there of him. You know, I didn't know this. He did a tour with his Ranger unit in Iraq in 03 and came back really disillusioned and was like, man, I don't know. And they even, the military, I don't want to spoil the ending. It's not the end. Yeah, the ending. You know the ending. He got fucked over by the government, and Donald Rumsfeld walks away, and you want to punch him in the mouth.
But not with your mouth.
Not with my mouth. No, I don't want to make out with him, Laura Howe style. This movie, he comes back from Iraq, and he was offered. The military said you did one deployment. We'll get you out of your 3-year deal to go back to the NFL. We'll let you do that. And he said no, because he was such a, like, I signed up for 3 years, even though I'm becoming disillusioned with the military and the war in Iraq, because I believe in the war in Afghanistan, but I don't believe in the war in Iraq, but that's okay. I will honor my commitment. And
so that part was true.
That part was all true. Like, and there's so many things in there, like the description of who he is and listening to his younger brothers talk about him and his wife and how the whole family got kind of swept up in this media thing of this image that the military and the Bush administration helped put out there as a recruiting poster. You know, and it's the fact that he got killed by friendly fire doesn't tarnish the fact that he was a hero, that he signed up and served his country and died. I mean, friendly fire happens in wars, and it's so, and then what bothers me so much, having, you know, done USO tours, I'm not a soldier in any stretch of the imagination, is how much no one gives a shit. There was 4 people in the theater, you know, and this happened, and it was public how they screwed this and lied to this family, and they had a big hearing, and which is all in the movie, and they show all these Rumsfeld and Richard Myers, the Air Force 4-star general.
Where did you see it?
I saw it at the Landmark in West LA.
Well, maybe,
but that's the bane of documentaries in general, is that they're underattended.
I know.
And people, well, they have no marketing.
People don't care.
They have no marketing to them, and there's probably a lot of people that don't know it exists.
Don't know it exists. I mean, I hope people see it, and I know also too that documentaries.
Everyone knew Sorcerer's Apprentice was around.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye out for the DVD release of documentaries you love, because there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that even now you're talking about it and they get fired up about it, it's not playing in their town.
Yeah, it's not.
No,
we're in LA and it's at like one or two weird theaters. Yeah, you know, so a lot of towns it's not even playing. So this show's a great way of, when it does come out on DVD, say, you know, rent.
Put
this
in your queue.
Let's talk,
like,
about
the
it.
Cove, that dolphin one.
Yeah,
that was that you're never going to find in a movie.
You're never
going to.
There's so many good documentaries out there. So yeah, that's an excellent point. Remember this, the Tillman story, and it will come back when it does come on DVD. We'll plug it again. If you do get a chance to see it in the theater, go. Because you're truly supporting, you know, the trailers leading up to it. There was the Waiting for Superman, which comes out next week, which is about the educational system.
I actually can't wait to see that movie, because it actually that affected us. Because for us to get a Bella into a good kindergarten, we had to go through this whole process: lotteries, permits, all this stuff. It was insane
for a 5-year old.
For a 5-year old, yeah, for kindergarten.
And it's that, and then there's another one about the whole Lehman Brothers and all the corporate scams and how the government, be whatever political party is in on it. Like, that documentary looks amazing. And
Countdown to Zero is supposed to be great.
Yeah, yeah, Countdown to Zero looks great. It's just
Waiting for Superman is.
I think that's 2 weeks.
It's coming out soon, but I think I might get to go to the like the LA premiere of it. And it's, you know, it's directed by Davis Guggenheim, who did
Inconvenient Truth.
And he, you know who his wife is?
Wait.
Mila Jovovich?
No, no. That two-timing whore.
Afterlife.
Oh, yeah. What's Larry David's ex-wife, right?
No. But that sounds good.
Yeah.
Because she was a big environmentalist.
And she was a producer on...
Yeah, yeah. No, they. It's. I assume they've been married for a while. It's Elizabeth Shue, who.
Oh, right.
Who was a recent guest on my podcast, Doug Loves Movies,
and you had to redact now, some of it.
Yeah, and now, now she and I are chatting through emails. You know, I'm not trying to do anything. I respect Davis Guggenheim too much and his work. So, but I think
well,
I'm glad you made that clear,
though, here on this podcast. Excited. So, if anyone's listening,
but she also does still look incredibly hot for
she's great
her age and overall mileage because she's been in a ton of movies.
So, Doug Benson's intentions are pure, in case anyone was yeah. wondering.
I just want to go see
towards Elizabeth Shue.
I just want to go see this new superhero movie I've heard so much about, Waiting for Superman.
No, it's not. It's not a super.
I'm so excited.
How long do you have to wait?
I thought the director of Inconvenient Truth made a superhero movie. All right, I'll give it a shot. The lady that directed Going the Distance, the new Drew Barrymore, Justin Long thing, she came out of documentaries.
Yes, she did.
Well, speaking of documentaries. You've done one.
Bango. And you're in it.
Yes, sir.
And Chris has seen it.
I have.
Yeah. Super Jaime is still available for if you want to watch it and laugh at how I have a better memory than Graham Elwood.
Wait, what? I forgot what he just
nice
said.
One.
Yeah. Check that out. And what
are we
going
to be seeing a sequel?
The High Road that Graham and I did for the G4 network was kind of a de facto sequel because it was kind of the same idea, me just getting stoned, traveling around with Graham, doing stand-up. And hoping to do more of that. It ended when the gig ended. We got in the car, rental car and drove away.
Yeah, later.
Yeah, it didn't really have an ending. Hopefully we'll get more of that sort of stuff going. Like, I'd love to do another tour movie that kind of focuses a little bit on the whole pot thing.
But again, like, you know, Doug's documentary, Super Jaime, has all of this statistical information in it that I personally was unaware of that was really informative that, again...
Really? You were unaware of it?
On the road
with Doug? And
he'd
no idea.
Certainly never been in a dispensary or known exactly how many there are in Los Angeles because they're kind of stealthily...
They just have a
pot leaf in the window. Yeah. Well, a lot of LA City Council started like making all these rules, like you got to be 1,000 feet away from a public area. Which where in LA is that exactly? You know,
in the middle of a field.
Yeah. So it's tougher. But on November 2nd, we get to vote to legalize it outright in California, and that if that happens, that's going to be crazy because the feds are still not down with that. It'll still be federally illegal. But by state,
an interesting
it'll be
court
legal.
Case.
Yeah, of course it will. You know, there's going to be lawsuits and stuff over it. I'm sure.
Well, I'm yeah.
Because that wouldn't be a waste of money.
No.
Or time.
Well,
or energy.
This is the thing. It's interesting because you know Doug and I have talked about this and radio shows on the road and stuff. Is that one of the reasons you're not hearing a lot of debate on it is like because the right wing right now is their whole thing is. Big government, get them out of our lives. You know, Obama's socialism is killing everybody, so they can't then come in and say, well, we're going to go against a state trying to vote for something that it already is primarily in favor of. You know, they can't come down and say, you can't.
Yeah, it's just more big government. You know, yeah. they're against big government, and government's what's telling us we can't smoke something that grew out of the ground.
Yeah.
So they're in a tricky spot. So, but the Democrats are in a tricky spot, too, because... It's also something that's hard to like. They'd fear that they'd lose some of their more right leaning constituents if they come out in favor of legalizing a drug that people still strangely think is going to make people have car accidents and stuff.
It's a gateway drug.
And the gateway thing, yeah. Just yesterday, I was watching cable news, and there was a guy on there that's I'm against Prop 19, and it was all about. But it's a gateway drug, and it's just like, how often does it have to be proven? that is not the case, and that it's that an addictive personality could leapfrog right over marijuana to get to the harder drugs. Like, that doesn't have to be a step. It just happens to be. That's like saying somebody got high and went to the movies and then they did crack, so let's blame marijuana and movies.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like this extra step that, like, does not need to happen for somebody to get into more serious drugs.
I'm around as a guy,
maybe
that doesn't,
it just takes a little more time. Maybe they're against
it's not
the
like
time.
Smoking weed is like practicing for sticking a needle in your arm. They're totally different activities.
Well, as someone who doesn't smoke weed, I'm around more of it than most non-pot smokers, and I don't smoke it. It hasn't made me become sort of, oh, now I need to, you know, suck dick for crack money. You know what I mean? I mean, just do this dick sucking. Like, I don't need crack, you know?
Pot
yeah, you
does
do
not
it for
get...
the sheer sport of it.
It's a recreation.
Pot does not get you off heroin. That's what you're trying to say.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you don't have to make a choice.
I mean, honestly, like... You know,
it can get you off painkillers.
It can get you off painkillers. And we met in the high road. There was an Iraq war vet who was hooked on Vicodin, and the only way he got off of it was pot. I mean, like, it's... And here's the other thing that drives me nuts is, like, I'm an adult. I make the decision I don't want to smoke pot. All of my friends do, just about. Everyone that comes to our shows do. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It doesn't...
There's that whole thing about, peer pressure and stuff. Like, when I was in school... No, that's the thing. It's like, when I was in school, all my friends smoked pot. I didn't smoke pot. And they would always go, you want some? And I would say no. And then that would be it. There's not like, we're not going to be your friend anymore unless you keep smoking pot. It's
but people
like,
that drink are the worst.
Yeah, all that stuff is like, I don't know. It's so weird. It's like all these like kind of legends that you never actually hear about, like gateway drugs and all this weird peer pressure. It's like, well, I haven't never actually experienced any of that. Who has that happened to?
They're just creating angles to keep the status quo, you know, like tobacco and alcohol companies don't want people freely smoking weed because it's better than both and
cuts
safer
into
than
their
both.
Product.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cuts into their profits.
Absolutely.
You know, you'd have to search far and wide to find a strictly marijuana related death. Like somebody died for some reason because of marijuana, but alcohol is killing someone as we speak.
What about that Scott Baio after school special, Stoned?
Yes. Well, that show killed me.
Yeah, when that kid fell off the boat, remember that?
Yeah, because accidents would not happen if people weren't smoking weed. Right. Yeah. No one would fall down ever. No one would ever injure themselves in any way.
I think, honestly, Scott Baio should be locked up for that movie. I think he's to blame. For a
not
lot
as
of death.
Not as subsequent reality shows after that.
His reality shows are responsible for a lot of people dying. Thanks, Scott.
Should we let's move on to DVDs?
Well, no, let's go into a little bit. Let's talk about your movie game and Leonard Maltin.
Oh, yeah.
Just a hair.
What would you like to talk about?
None of it.
Okay.
Our next guest.
We play this game on my podcast. I'm sure there's a lot of crossover listeners between the two, so I won't belabor the description, but it's basically the Leonard Maltin app or book can be used, and you play like Name That Tune with names of actors in a film and the title of the film instead of notes and songs. So it's like I can name it in that many names. And I've been playing it on the podcast for so long. And now when Graham and I are out on the road doing our live shows, the audiences want to play. And so we'll do like Graham Elwood versus the world and bring people up on stage and go head to head against Graham. And usually you'll knock down two or three people before somebody beats you.
It was good. The guy that I lost to in Arlington, what was the movie he beat me on? It was a really...
Wag the Dog?
Yeah, Wag the Dog. That was great.
Yeah.
That was... The
category was movies that take place in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And he had like five names. Mm-hmm. Graham said, name that movie. And he got to... when I got to the name Kristen Dunst, that like lit the light bulb
ding,
off.
Ding, ding,
and he went, I know it. It's Wag the Dog. And then, you know, the place went nuts. Because right before that, the guy said, I'm not going to be very good at this. I never get him right when I'm listening to the podcast. And then he got that right. And then when we were at the merch table after the show, the meet and greet, the woman that was with him came out to me and said, he just watched that movie 3 days ago. So he just totally lucked out that he picked a genre, you know, a category and a year. And then that movie turned out to be something that he had just seen.
He deserved to win then.
It's a fun game, and I'm sure, Chris, you can attest to that having played it once. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to get the hang of it. I got it now.
Well, now that I played it once, I actually understand it.
You kept going zero names.
I said Jackie. Jackie was like, it was okay, well, she's at one. I have to go to zero. Then negative. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's how you play. And then I realized, oh, no one plays like that.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to
do that.
You're
out of your mind.
Yeah.
You guys want to do a round real quick?
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
bring
sure.
it up. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I got to turn my phone on, so there may be phone disruptions now that I have it on.
While your phone's booting up, I'll say, since we started doing it on the road, it's a blast because people that are showing up with name tags to shows are so they didn't just like wander in like, who are these comedians? They're so ready and they're on board with anything.
They're deeply committed. They tend to sit, you know, they're all sitting right up front.
It's great.
And it's been really fun. And we appreciate that people do that.
We really appreciate it. The only tough thing is like there used to just be a handful of people with name tags, so it wasn't hard. But we usually only have time to go through three people. And now there's all these people with name tags, and it's like that's the only downside is like I want to pick everybody.
Yeah, we can't play with everyone, which is my motto in life. Can't play with everyone, but boy, would I like to try.
Just the people in the front.
Just the people in the front.
Let's let Chris Mancini pick the category.
Okay, what are my choices?
Let's go with, these are really fun categories. Let's go with Len's Bombs. That's movies Leonard Maltin gave the bomb designation to, which is worse than one star. He just calls it bomb.
So movies he didn't like, not movies that didn't do well.
No, movies that he thinks are bombs that he didn't like at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not a touchdown in football.
Got it.
And then another one that was submitted by a somebody on Twitter to me, named his Twitter name is Kevin in Chains. And
Alice in Chains fan.
Alice's brother.
Yeah.
he suggested Trips, which is the third in a series of in a franchise.
Oh, okay.
So like Resident Evil 3 Life. preceded Resident Evil 4 Afterlife. And then another one submitted was by a guy named IV Mogg, M-O-G-G, and he wrote movies that Doug Benson hasn't seen. And I managed to dig up like a couple very well-known big movies that I just never got around to seeing for one reason or
another. Last night when we did the interruption at Largo, it was great because it was Bridge on the River Kwai, which was like, it was...
Okay. Yeah, that's like a 1-7 Oscars, including Best Picture, and Alec Guinness is great in it, supposedly, and... There's a bridge, and they blow it up. And it's just one of those movies I've never sat
down.
Not
just a bridge, a bridge with a train on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a pretty spectacular sequence, and I've seen that, of course. I've seen clips of that, but I've never sat down and watched the movie.
All right,
and it's hard for me to find these aren't necessarily classics, but they were just big movies that people know.
Torn between Trips and the first one, the
Leonard's Bombs.
Leonard's Bombs. You know what? I'm gonna do Leonard's Bombs.
Okay.
Lenny.
That was fun, though, the way Graham really talked up that category, and then you gravitated towards the other two.
Yeah, I completely dismissed it. Absolutely.
Great idea, dummy.
Would you like a... You're a genius, stupid. Would you like a movie from 1980, 1987, or 1994? A bomb from one of those
1994.
Years. Okay, you get a couple of clues. They're never helpful.
Zero names.
Let's see what I can say from the review. Completely predictable and unfunny.
Are you reading the iTunes?
Somebody just put that on our iTunes page.
And fix the sound.
Fix the sound. Sound was bad.
The sound is unpredictable and unfunny.
I don't like kitten hands.
And it's only for diehard fans of the main character in this movie. Those are your clues.
Mm.
It's from 1994. Leonard thinks it's a bomb. Unpredictable, unfunny. I mean, predictable, unfunny. And there are six names.
Oh, God, I think I know this, but I'm not going to go crazy like I did last time. I can name it in... Seven. No, wait.
You can't go higher, you weirdo. God. have.
Six Daves, Chris.
You really don't understand this number.
We just
aspect.
Lost listeners on two podcasts at the same time.
Now, can I start?
This guy's
at six?
Never going to get this.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You can start. I'm going to start.
You can
at
open
six.
The bidding at six.
I'll open it
here
at six.
Hear all the names.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I will do five. See, I'm going to go lower. I can't
so
bid
he's
more
at five.
Than you.
So now he's not going to hear the name of the person that's the that I referred to as being. You have to be a diehard fan
so
of
now,
that person.
You can either say less than five or name that movie.
I'm doing four. I'll do name it in four.
I'm going to tell you to name that movie, buddy.
Oh,
I knew it. You were bluffing me, you son of a bitch. I knew I had you. I knew I had you.
Oh, the
you.
Thing about I know what it is already was a bluff?
I know this asshole.
That's clever.
I'm stuck in a garage with him. What do you want me to do?
It was one of those things where, because I played it before, I'm like, oh, I know this one. And then as we were talking, I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I don't.
You really get to know a guy when you spend a lot of time in a garage filled with baby and gym equipment.
Yes.
This is the creepiest garage.
And baby equipment and gargoyles everywhere.
Yeah.
But those ward off evil spirits as any goth
And a
person.
Box of kitten hands.
And there's a box of kitten hands. Meow, 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 meow.
All right, here's your four names. You're never going to get it.
I think you're
I've never
right.
heard of any of these people. Jason Michas, Kevin McNulty.
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 Corinne Cosdo and Bill Berg.
Birch. Okay, I'm going to go with my original guess that I think is wrong.
Okay.
Fletch Lives.
Oh, that is a good guess.
Wow. That's just a good... That's
incorrect, but it's a good guess.
I was just thinking, like, is it a Jim Varney movie? Like, I was trying to think of a
Oh,
really...
that's funny you should say that, because it's a Jim Varney movie.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, no way either one of you would have gotten this, because I lost track of what those things were called.
Santa's
in the
Slammer.
This one was called Ernest Goes to School.
Okay.
Followed by the deeply insulting Ernest Goes to Shul.
Yeah.
That one was what really put the final nail in the coffin of Ernest movies. That and Jim Varney's untimely passing. R.I.P. Jim Varney.
Let's do the other one. We have time, right? Let's do the trips. Let's do the
All right, we got to burn through the rest of
the Actually, I picked that one. You picked the
We can always cut something.
Okay.
Well, I could just quickly tell you that on DVD right now is a bunch of stuff you don't need to see.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right.
I didn't see Prince of Persia, but I imagine...
Hello, I'm the Prince of Persia,
I'd imagine that movie, if it's going to be good at all, it'd be in a movie theater. On TV, it doesn't seem very good.
Letters to Juliet and Just Right are on DVD. Not a good week for DVD.
Really?
Just Right was on a plane. I saw it on a plane recently, and I couldn't watch after a while because it's one of those movies where you know it's about a romance between Common and Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Between a commoner and a queen.
Yeah.
And you know they're gonna, that's what the movie's about, is a romance between them. 20 minutes in, they were still like, he's dating her best friend. Just like, I don't need to wait forever to find out the inevitable.
This should be a short film.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And then just Letters to Juliet I saw with my mom, and it was a sweet enough movie to watch with your mother.
All right. That's a nice wrap-up of our DVD.
Those are out on DVD, everybody.
Yeah. All right, so let's do Leonard Maltin again, and then we'll go into opening this week.
Yeah.
I pick movies Doug has not seen.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Okay, I got two of those left on my phone, and the years for those are 2004 and 2008.
I'll go 2000 and I'll go 2008.
Name that movie. Wait.
Jesus. 36 names. Can I get more names than there are?
Len gives it 3 stars.
Bam.
My first clue is Graham Elwood saw it, and I did not. And the next clue is sprawling. He calls it sprawling. And he also says, if you're looking for subtlety, look elsewhere.
This is 2008.
Because that's what I look for in movies, subtlety. I want to barely know I'm watching a movie. And it was from 2008, 3 stars from Len. And... there are 12 names.
10.
Graham says he can get it in 10.
8.
You sure you don't want to bid 11? Graham?
Oh, Chris, you're retarded. Which is rare. Usually I'm the moron on the program.
Well, it's rules.
It's rules. I don't like society, man. That's why I have gargoyles in my garage.
Long hair.
Yeah.
So you said how many?
8.
All right, I'll go 7.
Name that movie.
Done.
I think he's got a good chance of getting this one. But you're getting there, Chris. You're getting good.
Yeah.
I want to try to knock one more name off it if I were you, but how many do you get?
Seven.
Kerry Walker, Barry Otto, Essie Davis, Ben Mendelsohn.
Is that Ozzie Davis?
No, Essie.
Essie.
Maybe related. I don't know. Probably not.
His Latino half-child.
Ben Mendelsohn, or as I call him, Bendelsohn. David Ngumbajara. David Ngumbajara. Don't look it up on your computer, Graham.
I'm not. I'm making sure it doesn't fall asleep. Yeah, I'm going to start Googling it.
Brandon Walters. That's six names, right?
Yeah.
And one more.
And for real film enthusiasts, this name could be a giveaway name. David Gulpill. G-U-L-P-I-L-L. Gulpill.
Wow, I thought I had this, David but now Gulpill. I'm...
I think the only other name that's really helpful is Ngumbajara. It's from 2008. Three stars, sprawling, and if you're looking for subtlety, look elsewhere. Graham Elwood, your time is up.
Hancock.
That's a great one because I haven't seen that one either.
I knew you hadn't seen that. That's
oh,
why,
that's why it was in your head.
That's why it was in my head because I know.
I have an idea on this.
All right. Well, the next name's a giveaway name in my opinion. Brian Brown.
I think it's Blood Diamond.
What is it?
No, we saw that together.
Then another Aussie, Jack Thompson. Then Bill Wernham, David Wernham.
Oh, Australia.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman.
God, that's right. Okay.
And you saw it, and I was like, how was it? And you're like, it's all right.
That was
sprawling.
Like,
I can't sit through that. I can't watch
it. It has
that
a talking
thing.
Kangaroo in it.
Yeah. Hello. Oh, my kangaroo. Put a shrimp on the Barbie. It's a kangaroo that lived in London most of its life.
Yeah.
Was educated at Oxford.
Was very educated.
All right, so Chris got that point, so now you're tied.
Whoa.
Oh, we don't have time to play another one. If you want to listen to more Leonard Maltin game, tune into Doug's Lost Movies on iTunes.
I could do opening this week pretty fast. Devil, Boo, The Town, Yes, Easy A, Okay, Alpha and Mega. Those are the first and last movies I want to see.
Ah, nice. Good mention, everybody.
What is Alpha and Omega?
I have no idea.
That's an animated movie about two wolves.
That's an animated movie about two characters I won't be watching in a movie.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Alpha Even my five-year-old went, "That I don't want to see that. That
so here's
dumb.
Here's our recommend. I think we're all in agreement. Everybody go see The Town, and if you want a crazy high school sex fun movie, I'd say Easy. I'm going to see Easy A. I'm going to see it. It looks fun.
I think it looks adorable. It just looks like Lindsay Lohan has stepped out the door completely, and Emma Stone is like the new. Yeah,
she's great.
It totally reminds me of Mean Girls, and Mean Girls is one of the most watchable, kind of chick flicks ever made. I think.
And The Devil, there's no way I'm going to see that movie.
We actually should tell people not to see Devil. If you really want to see that movie, pay for something else.
Yeah,
you can't. We can't support.
Or you know,
M. Night
you can do just get into an elevator and hit the pause button for a second and go, oh, this would be scary to be stuck in an elevator. Yeah. What if the devil were
and
here
then
too?
And then go.
Go do something else.
Someone bit me.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch people biting each other in an elevator.
Yeah.
What's the twist in that?
My favorite was reading the news reports when the trailer would show From the Mind of M. Night Shyamalan, and people would laugh and boo in the movie theaters.
Here's an idea. Go spend your money on a really well-made independent documentary. Go do that. Go do that.
Do you think the M stands for mind?
Yeah.
His name is Mind Night Shyamalan. He's like, I can't. I got to go with my first initial because people don't want to people don't want to see movies by people.
All right,
named
let's
mind.
Do it. Then.
We put a tweet on for Facebook and Twitter saying that we're actually boycotting Devil because of M. Night's political stance on making watchable movies.
He's against it.
Yeah.
Vote no on watchable movies.
Okay, Chris, would you like in theaters now? It's motion pictures that are playing in theaters now. Or from Define321 on Twitter, the IMDb bottom 100, like the 100 worst movies according to IMDb, or movies that take place in Washington, D.C., where Graham and I were last weekend.
In theaters now. Narrows the field.
This is going to be a Donnybrook, because all we do is watch movies that are in theaters now. So this is going to come down to like minus 48 names.
All right, as you may or may not know, Leonard Maltin doesn't give stars to newer movies. He writes longer reviews instead that give more in-depth opinions. So this is from 2010, and he says, "It's the kind of movie that gives other movies in its genre, I'm paraphrasing, a bad name. So this movie ruined it for other movies that are like it."
And this sets the whole summer.
And then at the end,
yeah, man.
And then he says, "A movie with attractive stars should be more than just a time killer, shouldn't it?" So he's essentially calling this a time killer, and he said it gives other movies of its genre a bad name. And it's in theaters now, and there are 10 names.
In theaters now, or in theaters sometime this year?
Now, probably.
I can name it in 10.
There's a kind of a fast attrition rate in theaters these days, so 9. I can't speak to how many
8.
Theaters it's
8,
in.
8, 7.
I'll do 6.
5.
4.
Oh, you son of a bitch! 3.
Name it.
If it was Chris trying to name it in 3, I'd say he had a shot, but I don't think you're going to get it.
Okay.
unless you already have a strong idea what it is. Do you already have a good feeling
for
what it might be?
Read the description again, real quick.
It gives movies like it a bad name, and he says that it's movies with attractive stars should be more than just a time filler. Shouldn't they?
Okay.
And your 3 names are Kelly Barrett, Caroline Davernis. Oh, Davernis. Oh, she was the girl that was in that Wonderfalls show that I liked a lot that only lasted for a handful of episodes.
Oh, that was a great hint.
Watch it on DVD. Well, if you know who she is. Yeah. I mean, if you've seen that show, but I don't think Graham has. And then the 3rd name you get is Todd Luiso. Who Graham made a face at, but do you know who that is, Chris? Do you know who Todd Luiso is?
I'll go the Switch.
That's correct.
Oh, do you believe in life after love? I don't know why I'm singing a Cher song.
I am
That's
impressed.
My victory song.
You saw that movie.
Of course I did.
Yeah, he says that he ruined, you know, Len's point is that movie ruined it for other romantic comedies.
Yeah, and the good-looking people thing, I was like, Jennifer Aniston, I was like...
Switch has to be better than Backup Plan, though. I watched 20 minutes of Backup Plan on a plane and couldn't take it anymore.
It is better than Backup Plan. Switch actually has some funny moments in it.
And Todd Luiso, I thought, might have been a giveaway name for you because he hasn't been in a ton of movies, but he's fairly memorable. He was the other guy in the record store in High Fidelity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he...
I hadn't seen the Switch.
Oh, you haven't seen the Switch. If you'd seen it, that might have been something. I don't know. Anyway,
the
that
names
was fun.
Did nothing for me. I was just in theaters, and the description, the names helped me for nothing.
Yeah, well, this is a little hint to people that are listening that might come to one of our live shows in the future. Like, that's a sucker category, the in theaters now, because Graham has seen everything in theaters now and can just make an educated guess without even recognizing the names.
Yep.
You know, so it's fun when people pick that because I always know they're going to be going back to their seats
quickly.
It's got to be something like Wag the Dog to pull one over Graham Elwood.
You can't beat a road comic with their days free.
But that's all I do, as I work on a movie review website and see movies all the time. Right, that's our show, man. Thank you, Diggity Doug Doug, for being on the...
Don't ever call me that again. is this the part where we talk about stuff that's coming up?
Sure.
Yeah, what do you got plugging? What do you got cooking?
I got on September 27th, people can come see me and a special guest to be determined, basically do a live commentary through an entire movie at CineFamily on Fairfax.
Nice.
Trying to do those like once a month, but the next one's on September 27th. You can go to cinefamily.com to look into that. And on the 29th, I think it is, I'm going to be introducing a screening of Best Worst Movie, a great documentary about Troll 2. Is going to be at the New Beverly here in LA on September 29th. I'll be there, so come by for that. And I'm trying to think of anything else that's coming up October 30th and 31st, Graham Elwood and I, 2 more dates on the Pot the Vote tour to get the vote out for Prop 19 on November 2nd. Last minute, we're going to do Sacramento Punchline on October 31st, Halloween, but it's going to be at 4:20 in the afternoon, so you could still watch the show and then go trick-or-treating if you're an adult weirdo.
That's very enterprising.
And then, that'll be a big day.
So the 30th
day.
Is in San Francisco.
And then the 30th, we're at the Punchline in San Francisco at 4:20 on the 30th, and then 31st is Sacramento Punchline at 4:20. So you can go to punchlinecomedy.com, I think, to get tickets for those.
And the Benson Interruption on Comedy Central.
Yeah, it's coming. We'll debut on October 28th at midnight after Colbert.
Boom.
Cool.
And where's the best place for them to get, if they don't already listen to your podcast, where can they find it?
Just go to DougLovesMovies.com.
Outstanding.
Well, let's make it all about Doug this episode.
Let's do that.
Let's do. We've got Doug's new CD signed. Only place you can get it signed.
Hypocritical Oaf.
And it's a CD-DVD combo.
Combo.
And you can also get all three of Doug's CDs plus the DVD plus a free T-shirt in the gift pack.
We're just adding a new
Doug Benson poster.
The poster with the cover art from the new CD-DVD combo Hypocritical Oaf will be included as a free gift.
And he's leaning over a car in a bathing suit.
No, that's not the cover of my album. That's just something I gave to you for you to keep in your wallet. Graham and I are going to be at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City for a 4:20 matinee on Sunday, September 26th.
So get the Doug Benson gift pack. Get the Doug and Graham super pack with all of our stuff together. You get plenty of free gifts. When you buy the gift packs, you always get free stuff.
Yep,
and with Doug,
always
you're going to get
free. A little extra.
A little taste. That's what we want to do to our fans.
Yeah, we'll put a little something in the bag you didn't ask for. A little boo-boo-boo into the bag.
Little couple of kitten hands. All right. So what else, Chris? We got to plug here?
That
was horrible.
We've got shows coming up in Indianapolis and one in Visalia.
Yes. You can see Chris and I at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, October 21, 22, and 23. And we will be doing a live podcast recording there on that Saturday, the 23rd. And also, we will be doing a show in Visalia, where Doug and I were in July, on Saturday, November 6th. You can see me headline in Hyenas in Dallas, the 24th and 25th of September. And then, as Doug said, I will be with him on the 26th at Wise Guys.
All right, 4:20 matinee.
Yeah, 4:20 matinee.
And we just want to say again, thanks to all the support from everybody. Like, we're getting the audio stuff worked out.
Thank
we appreciate your patience and your suggestions and your help. In fact, if there's an audio engineer in the LA area and wants to come and give us about 2 hours, there's a free chill pack in it for you.
We'll give you some free stuff. So yeah, thank you to everybody for listening and spreading the word. Don't forget, there's the iPhone app that gets all the special features and whatnot. And that's it. Great show.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
And my name is thank our guest Doug Benson.
What's your name?
My name is thank our guest. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and always, as always, remember
Han shot first.